In the new film, Jane Austen Wrecked My Life, the feature debut of French writer and director Laura Pieney, we meet Agathe Robinson, an aspiring French writer who is grieving her parents and selling books at a Paris bookstore. In Pieney's film, we discover how Jane Austen has shaped Agathe's thinking and writing, how she interacts with people, imagines the future, and fashions her stories, and how she makes sense of the past. I had the opportunity to speak with Pieney, and in this special episode of Jane Austen and the Future of the Humanities, I'm excited to share our conversation, in which we discuss Austen, writing, and the ruins, ambulances, and chances that mark and at times wreck and recreate our lives. My name is Michael Cramp, and I'm a faculty member in the English department at Lehigh University. And ever since I read Jane Austen at age 18, I have been pretty much enamored of her narratives, her characters, and her ideas. While many are repeatedly drawn to Austen for her famous stories of romance or the quaint settings of her fiction or her wonderfully witty language, I have found myself returning to Austen as both a scholar and a fan because of the ways in which she treats cultures, people, families, communities, relations, and other human phenomena as complex realities that merit and in turn invite careful, considered, and continual thinking. Austen invites us to keep thinking and keep learning. Thank you, Laura, so much for joining me today. Would you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your work?
Hello, everyone. I am Laura Pieny. I am a French filmmaker based in Paris. I've been a writer for 12 years, and this is my first feature, Jane Austen Wrecked My Life. This is my first feature as a director, and it's a pleasure to be with you.
As you know, I have been engaged in a larger public-facing project that I call Jane Austen and the Future of the Humanities. Whenever I conduct interviews for this project, I like to begin with the same question, and I would like to ask you this same question as well. Can you recall your first encounter with Jane Austen, her stories or her characters?
So the real honest remember is me being 13, obsessed with boys and love in general, obsessed, trying to read everything I can to understand what's going on with me and with the world. And discovering that Jane Austen is a good kind of reading in terms of romance. And I started with A Sense and Sensibility. And I read it in French. And I, if I'm really honest with you, I will say it. And then I will say how I reread it. But the first time I read Sense and Sensibility, I started to like it, and then it was too long, and then I turned the pages because I wanted them to kiss or something would happen. You know, it was unbearable, this tension and this nothingness, actually. And I remember reading Sense and Sensibility again 10 years later, you know, my mid-20s, when I was working at the bookseller at Shakespeare and Company. And I remember the shock of like discovering the writing, actually, something I didn't see. The writing, the music, the humor, the mockery, everything that I completely missed because I was too young and a bit too stupid. So that was my first remember.
I love the honesty and rawness of your recollections of Austen. I have heard so many various stories about people's first encounters with Austen, many of which involve lovely remembrances of sharing Austen with one's mother, often around age 13, 14. You tell a very different story that no doubt informs the film. Could you talk a bit more about the ways in which Austen and her world have inspired you?
Her books inspired me as much as her life, you know. When I went to write the script in England, in Chawton, for example, I made some research trip to find out more about where she lived because I didn't know much about her life. And in my script at this time, Agathe was alone, grieving for her parents, but she had no sister. And I went to Chawton to visit her house, to Jane Austen house, where she spent the last years of her life. And I remember being so moved in the room. They kept the whole house as it was. It's beautiful. It's a museum, but it's just like, you know, the house as it was. And you can see her desk. And the idea of these two women who didn't get married, Cassandra was painting, Jane Austen was writing, it moved me so much that I stole her sister in the script, you know.
This is fascinating. I have never been to Chawton, but I'm going this summer and I'm really excited to finally get there. I have heard similar stories of inspiration from various friends and colleagues who have traveled to Chawton, including numerous accounts of the writing desk. Indeed, one of the features of Jane Austen Wrecked My Life to which I was drawn was its treatments, at times rather visceral treatments, of the experiences of writing and literature. I want to ask you about a few specific moments of dialogue in the film. At one part, we hear Agathe announce, "Literature is like an ambulance." Later, we hear Oliver compare writing to ivy, weeds, and plants that need runes to exist. I'm wondering if you'd be willing to think with me about these related experiences of writing and literature and how your film addresses them. I'm particularly struck by the need for runes.
I'm glad that you picked these ones because I like them too somehow. I think you know it's hard to know when you write where the ideas are from and how do they come actually, especially when you write lines. It must can be things you heard, people talked about it. It can be something you read, can be something you create completely from scratch. It's really hard, actually. That's also the beauty of it. It's the music that you hear in your mind, and then you think, okay, this character, he can say this. He might think this, so he can say it, or maybe he thinks this, but he cannot say it. Anyway, so the ambulance, I think it's something I read, but I never, it's not mine. It's just something that I thought was so powerful, so simple, and so true. This feeling of being saved, you know, this emergency sometimes that we have because we didn't know, but we needed this book. And that's so, every time I speak with someone about this thing, about reading a book, meeting a book, as if it was, you know, written something. It had to be, you know, you go through your life and suddenly you pick up this book that maybe was on your near your bed for many years. And suddenly it's the right time to read it. And suddenly it echoes or it answers to so many questions that you have. It's weird, this relationship we have with reading.
I think it's quite compelling to think about literature and writing in terms of need or emergency or an ambulance. My sense is that we often think about reading and literature in terms of leisure or even luxury. In other words, we read when we have spare time or to fall asleep or at night to relax or on holidays. Literature has, in other words, become something of an afterthought. Jane Austen Wrecked My Life invites us to think about the need or even the urgency of literature and writing. Is this concept of the need of writing or the urgency or exigency of literature tied to the film's treatment of ruins?
The runes thing is something that I deeply feel and experienced, I think, as a writer. I think here, what I in disguise, because I think you know we put a lot of we hide things through lines also. What I was thinking was that I like when I like films that are journeys with characters. It's simple as that. And I am also very interested into psychoanalysis, you know, all kind of things, you know. I read a lot of like you know how do you say in English when people are psychoanalysts who are actually writing about theories and also about the patients and everything, because it's as a writer, it's a golden mine, you know, you have so many things that you can be inspired with. And I think that through Agathe's journey, there is something similar to, you know, finding her voice. Psychoanalysis is somehow finding your own voice, you know, hearing who talks when you talk. And writing is also the same. And for that, you need to go back to your runes. Your runes meaning sometimes your trauma, sometimes your wounds, sometimes it can be many things, sometimes just your family story. And in the case of Agathe, it's obviously the grief. And he feels that, Oliver. And that's what I try to build between these two characters. You know, that's what unites them is that she's grieving because she lost her parents, and he's grieving because he's losing his father progressively. And like unconsciously, that is something that is really like, you know, they talk to each other somehow unconsciously. And so when he says that, he understands that she needs to go back to that.
This is beautiful. And I think it encourages me to rethink how we understand the love story that evolves in the film and its relationship to this concept of ruins. Is it a challenge to experience and express love when we are in a state of ruin or decay?
Maybe unconsciously, I'm just thinking about it while I speak to you. I never thought about it, but you know, the core of the story is the poem at the end that speaks about broken hearts. And as the beginning of all true perception, that's what this poem stayed with me since I heard it at Shakespeare and Company. And it's really like the main source of inspiration for this film. I didn't have the story, but I wanted to end up with this poem. Somehow I wanted to reach this poem. And I think when you think about it, probably the runes thing is another way to talk about broken hearts. A broken heart, I think. I think our runes are also the broken heartness that you have to go through because it's called a life, and we all have that somehow.
We keep circling around these topics of writing and the literary experience, and your beautiful film is clearly about writing. One specific issue that your film treats in very compelling ways is the experience of writer's block. At various points in the film, we see a goth struggling with what Beth in the film terms a dry spell. As a writer, I imagine this is something with which you are painfully familiar. I certainly know this all too well. Would you be willing to talk a bit about the challenges of writer's block and the ways in which you attempt to feature these challenges in Jane Austen Wrecked My Life?
Yes, so that was, I think, one of my main source of inspiration is all the things all the lies that I told to myself to avoid writing, and all the people that I love around me who are scriptwriters or writers, and all the endless justification, explanations they find to not write. I think it's a very, very, very rich source of comedy. And I remember one day being losing my mind because, you know, when you write, the most having ideas is not difficult. It's not the problem of having good ideas. The problem is when you have good ideas and they're in your mind, they are perfect. They are exactly as they should be. They are in your mind. And you know that when you will start to translate that into a first draft, you will kill them, your perfect ideas. It will be bad, and you will face your own mediocrity because the first draft is always a shitty draft. Like, no matter, some people are really able to have first good draft. I'm not. So this courage and this fear and this pain that it is to write a first draft, I think it's as tragic as absurd. And what I was really willing to do is that also to say that and to show that in a writer's residency, because suddenly in a writer's residency, writers don't have any excuse anymore to not write because the conditions are perfect. They are fed, you know, no one is asking them anything. And so they have to face this thing. And they cannot, you know, hide behind it. And this is extremely funny because, of course, comedy comes from all the things we're trying to hide.
Well, maybe we can talk a bit about Jane Austen now. Jane Austen is at once omnipresent in the film and somewhat hidden or absent. I realize that may sound rather strange, as Austen is quoted and referenced and used in various ways as part of the plot, and yet this is a narrative with its own integrity. Your film is not an Austen remake or adaptation or continuation. You're not paying homage to Austen in every scene like many films have done, But you certainly invite readers, scholars, and fans of Austen to ask all kinds of questions about possible relationships between your film and a larger Austen universe. There's a way in which Austen films now have their own sense of referentiality, if that makes sense. I'm interested to talk with you about how you see this film as part of a larger Austen universe. And I want to rather shamelessly ask you about one specific moment, and I think there are several other interesting examples. When we see a Goth and Oliver playing darts in the pub, is this an allusion to the famous scene from the 1940s Pride and Prejudice film, in which Greer Garson and Laurence Olivier practice archery, a scene later referenced in the 1996 Douglas McGrath version of Emma?
Yes, it is. It was intentional, I thank you for what you said, because it was so important for me to be able to talk to the Jane Austen fan and the experts as much as to the people who heard about her name and never read it. You know, I didn't want to do an expert movie. I wanted to be generous, and Jane Austen is not the starting point of this film. The starting point is the portrait of a woman who is grieving and who is blocked and who is dreaming of becoming a writer and is incapable of like writing, and who is dreaming about love and who is incapable of like, you know, engaging with someone. And then I thought, okay, who could she blame for that? You know, because she's grieving and she doesn't see that it's because she's grieving, probably, that she cannot do all of this. But so who would she blame? She could blame someone who opened the way for romantic comedy, because I think Jane Austen created romantic comedy somehow, and created a romantic ideal that is still resonating today, for a reason that is an extraordinary mystery, why all her stories and the characters are still so relevant and celebrated and adapted and over again. And I think what helped me really was being French, meaning that I couldn't pretend that I own Jane Austen. You know what I mean? I'm a stranger. I'm an outsider. I cannot do another Jane Austen movie because I'm not English. I'm not American. I mean, I'm just French. And so I have to find the right distance. And I wanted to pay a tribute somehow. But something invisible. If you don't want to see it, you don't see it. And if you are really, really, as I was when I reread again and discovered so many things about her books, if you love her as much as I do, then you can see all the references. Then you can see that she inspired me.
Yes, indeed. Austen is clearly an immense inspiration for you in the film. I would like to end by asking you about the concept of timing or luck or chance. I'm particularly interested in this idea as part of my own work on Austen, because we so often think about Austen as a guide or prescription for happiness. Many, many books and manuals have been published touting Austen's supposed advice on such topics. Austen can supposedly help us identify our proper life partner, help us date more effectively, help us understand our own mental development, etc., etc. But Austen, I would argue, also makes clear how happiness is rooted in hap, the etymological root of happiness. Near the end of the film, Oliver and Agoth discuss this issue of luck and timing. I'm wondering if you might be willing to speak to how these concepts of timing, luck, and hap inform your film.
It's very interesting. I was just, by listening to you, I thought, oh my God, I'm sure Jane Austen would hate these books with the recipes of how to find it. She would hate that, I'm sure, because it's absurd, really. It's a commercial way to sell things, probably. I believe that that chance is something that you can provoke, and that you, more than anything else, that you can recognize when it's there. And the problem is sometimes we're too blocked, we're too unhappy and wounded and whatever reason to recognize the chance when it's in front of us. You know, a chance, it can be a small chance or a big chance or all kind of chance. So I guess what I wanted to do with this film is that I really didn't want to do a rom another rom-com where a woman is saved by love or saved by men, because she has the chance of like meeting someone just like that by chance, you know, and it's the right one. I don't believe in that. And I wanted to do a film about a woman who is saving herself first, who has a dream and who is going for that dream. And then because she's able to open her eyes and recognize the chance of the potential love story with Oliver, and then it means it's possible. I'm just trying to think about, you know, the ending. Oliver is not a chance, it is a meeting, and then she cannot go for that meet, for that love story before she actually writes her own book and follow her dream, and then it's possible.
Thank you, Laura, so much for taking the time to speak with me and to discuss your film, Austin, writing, and literature. I always like to conclude my interviews by asking if there's anything that you would like to discuss that you just have not had a chance yet to discuss.
I would say, for those who don't know Jack Erchmann, you can read his poetry. I hope it will resonate for you as much as it did for me.
Jane Austen Wrecked My Life, the feature debut of Laura Pieney, opens in cinemas around the United States on May 23rd.